Good afternoon. That feels weird to say, but I said it. I got it right. Good afternoon. You guys look nice. It's great to be with you. My name is Dave. If we haven't met, welcome to Cedar Mill. We're thrilled you're here with us today. You know, earlier this year, my wife Amy and I had a night at home with our oldest daughter who was back from college, and we decided to do something that we often do, and that is watch an old movie, a movie that was like, you know, current for us, but that was, you know, before her time. And on this particular night, we chose the movie Catch Me If You Can. Do you remember this movie? It stars Tom Hanks and a very young Leonardo DiCaprio, who plays Frank Abagnale, a con artist who travels around fooling people into thinking that he's a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, and most significantly, a Pan-American air pilot. And in one of the very best scenes of the movie, Abagnale is trying to escape the U.S. by flying out of Miami International Airport in 1964. But the trick is, the authorities know he's coming. They have been planning. They've been preparing. In fact, dozens of police officers and FBI agents are posted all over the airport, waiting, watching, expecting, and anticipating Abagnale to show up. And even with all that hype and effort, they miss him. They get focused on a decoy he plants. They get distracted by a group of flight attendants, and Abagnale slips past right in front of their faces, unnoticed. The very thing they were waiting for, they miss. And I bring this up at Christmas because if you've been around here for the past month, you know that we've been celebrating Advent. We've been expecting, anticipating, watching, and waiting for the birth of Jesus. We've had our sights set on the event that we are celebrating this evening. And yet, even with all that focus, we could miss it. Because just like Miami Airport, in our world, there are distractions. There are things that want to divert our attention from the baby born in Bethlehem and cause Christmas to slip right past. So my job today, my goal for the next 15 minutes, give me 15 minutes, is to take your eyes off of the toys and tinsel and carols and cookies and fix them back on the main message of Christmas. And to do that, I want to give us four words today, four words that will help us not miss the main message of Christmas. Here's the first: hope. Hope. I want to be clear about what Christmas hope is and what Christmas hope isn't. Because in the English language, the word hope is primarily about uncertainty. We hope for things that may or may not occur. We, in a sense, wish for things when we hope. But friends, in the Bible, in the scriptures, the idea of a hope is actually about something you can count on and rely on. Hope is about something solid and secure you can tether your life to in order to have peace and confidence in this world, even when other things around you are shaky. This is why Paul, writing to the early Christians in very difficult situations, says, "We thank God that you continue to be strong." He says, we're thankful that there's strength in you, that there's confidence in you. Why? Because of your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, you've tethered your life to something stable and secure, and that will get you through. One way to think about this is the distinction for things we hope for and things we hope in. You see, hoping for is not bad. We all hope for different things. This year, I'm hoping for a really great time with my family over the holidays this next week. I'm hoping for my wife to like the Christmas gifts I got for her. It's a big hope. I'm hoping for my fantasy football team to rally and get me a win over my niece, Emily, who may be watching online and is currently kicking my behind in the playoffs. I'm hoping for good health and I'm good hikes. I'm hoping for some really good days snowboarding on Mount Hood with my son this winter. There's a lot of things I'm hoping for, but what I'm hoping for is not the same as what I'm hoping in. Let me explain it this way. A number of years ago, I was at a camp where they had a high ropes course, and the way it worked was that you would climb up this very high tower to a platform, and then from there, you'd make your way from platform to platform by attempting to navigate a number of aerial obstacles. And the obstacles started off kind of easy. They kind of got you in slowly. They were simple. But as the course progressed, the challenges got very, very hard. And you were way up there. Anyone else marginally afraid of heights like me? That's probably 100 feet. Felt like 3 miles. But how I felt safe was that the entire time there was this wire above you. And from that wire were some cords that came down and attached to your harness. You kind of get a sense of it from the picture there. That's not me, but it was kind of like that. And here's the point. I really hoped for success on the obstacle course. I wanted to do well. I wanted to make it through the challenges. But at 100 feet up in the air, my hope was in that harness and that wire. They are what gave me confidence and courage and safety and security to go all out on the course. And friends, one of the biggest mistakes we make in life is that we often confuse hope for with hope in. We put our hope in success or family or fun or popularity or pleasure or wealth or achievement. But the reality is those things will not last, and they will, all of them, at some point let us down, and they don't provide the real security we need to live with peace on the obstacle course of life. Friends, the message of Christmas is this. Now, in Jesus, God has given us something we can with confidence put our hope in. Something stable, something secure, something that will never fail you or leave you. Christmas, at the very heart of it, says, go ahead, clip your life in, clip your soul in, clip your security, identity, and eternity to the love and grace God has given you in the baby born in Bethlehem. We must not miss that Christmas is about a God we can put our hope in. Here's our second word today, worth. You know, one of the ways we judge a gift is by asking internally, how much did it cost the person who gave it? And hear me clearly on this. I'm not asking or talking about how expensive the gift was. That might be part of it. But what I'm really after here is, how much did the giver put into the gift? How much energy, care, effort was there? How much sacrifice did the gift require? You know, in one of the great all-time Christmas specials of our day, Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas. Oh, you laugh, but if you've not seen it, it's quite good. In the show, Mickey loves, and I mean loves, his harmonica. And Minnie, his girlfriend, her most prized possession is her pocket watch. But as Christmas approaches, Mickey, he doesn't have much money, and so he determines to sell his harmonica so he can afford to buy a gold chain for Minnie's watch. And in turn, Minnie sells her watch in order to buy a nice case for Mickey's harmonica. And then on Christmas morning, as they exchange gifts, they both realize what has happened. And yes, it is just a simple, silly cartoon, but it does make a very significant point. The sacrifice we're willing to make reflects the worth that we see. You see, their sacrifices made a very clear statement. You matter to me. You are significant to me. You are a person of great, great value in my eyes. Friends, this is the message of Christmas times a billion. Romans 5:8 says, God showed his great love for us, his enormous value for us by sending Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners. There's a line in the carol, O Come Holy Night, which we'll sing here in a bit, that says, long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appears and the soul felt its worth. Friends, this carol is reminding us that when you really understand Christmas, when the gravity of this holiday doesn't just slip past you, the very clear statement is that you are more valued by God than you can even imagine. That he came to earth, that he gave up heaven and comfort and power and prosperity for your eternal security. So I ask you this Christmas, has your soul felt its worth? Do you know how valued you are? Does the baby born in Bethlehem send the life-changing message that you were worth coming for, that you were worth dying for, that all this sacrifice was for you because you are worth it? Do you know how valuable you are in God's eyes today? Friends, if you do, this leads to our third word, joy. Christmas is about joy. And it's kind of funny, really, because what's interesting about the Christmas story when you read it in the Bible, like the real Christmas story, is that it's packed with bad news. It's filled with dreadful details and terrible situations and really awful, awful circumstances. There's a tyrant Caesar. There's an oppressed people group, teen pregnancy, difficult travel, unsanitary lodging, and in the end, there is even the killing of innocent children. This is not a quaint, quiet little tale. And yet, sprinkled all throughout this story are words like good news, great joy, praise, worship, favor, peace, mercy, glory. And it's not because the characters of this scene suddenly upon Jesus' birth get nice, neat, perfect little lives, that everything from this point forward is going to be real, real easy. No, it's because the joy of this baby overwhelms their lives. It's because the good news is exponentially greater than their hard realities. It's sort of like this. Imagine you're in ninth grade. For some of you, not hard. Others, dig deep. You're in ninth grade, and on your way to school one day, some punk seniors drive by and throw a cup of red Kool-Aid all over you. And now it's on your shirt and your jeans, and you're sticky and you're stained and you're red for the rest of the day. Then, on your way to first period, you realize you forgot your backpack at home and your math assignment's in there, and you tell the teacher, but the teacher says, sorry, it's due today. If you don't turn it in, you're going to get an F. Then, between second and third period, the person you've been dating dumps you because of some rumors that have been spread about you on social media that everyone's talking about. Then, when you get to your locker, you finally discover that cuts have been made to the team, and while all your friends are on the squad, you are not going to be on the team this year. Finally, you miss the bus after school, and you have to walk home, and all you can think is, this is the worst day of my life. I hate my life. But then, when you get home, your mom's there, and she says, guess what? Surprise. Tomorrow, we're going to Hawaii for a 3-week vacation. We've invited 3 of your best friends. You're going to have your very own luxury suite on the top floor of our hotel overlooking the ocean. I've booked a helicopter tour. There's a snorkeling expedition. There are several excursions on a private yacht. And also, I'm throwing in a $3,000 spending allowance for you and each of your friends just to use as fun money while we're there. Now, let me ask you, when you learn that news, when you receive that gift, are you still sad and depressed and completely bummed out about your life? I hope not. You're happy and pumped and ecstatic. But here's the thing. Your day has not changed. The struggles you faced earlier have not gone away. Your clothes are still stained. You still aren't on the team. Those rumors are still floating around. Your math project will still get an F. And yet, in this moment, you have joy. Why?
Because the gift you've received is bigger than the struggles you face. Your life is suddenly more defined by the gift than the struggles. Friends, some of you have had struggles this year. Some of you are still facing those struggles now. And Christmas does not say that everything will all of a sudden be peachy keen from this point forward. But Christmas does say this. Right in the middle of your messy life, right in the middle of whatever uncertainty or fear or pain that you're in, God wants to put this baby. He wants to put this gift. And he wants you to know that even though the path ahead may feel unpredictable, there is now in Jesus good news of great joy for you. So whatever you do, whatever you do, consider. And that's our final word today. Consider, consider what Christmas could mean for you. You know, as the Christmas story comes to a close, in the Gospel of Luke, we read something that I believe is really poignant. Like, it's all happened already, right? The angels have come and gone. The journey down to Bethlehem is over. The baby's been born, placed in the manger. The shepherds have arrived on the scene and then gone out to tell people. But then, as the word goes out and as the excitement begins to spread, we read this. But Mary, but the mother of Jesus, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. We get this little moment, right? In Greek, the word treasured means to gather up. Mary reaches into her mind and gathers up all the memories and moments from the last 9 months, and she ponders them in her heart. She pauses. She stops. She waits. She takes a moment and has this inner conversation about the things she's learned and seen and experienced. And she considers, what does this all mean for me and my life and this world where I live? Friends, let me suggest that to just let Christmas go by and not consider, not have inner conversation about what the reality of this moment means for you and your life, that's nothing shy of an enormous mistake. That's nothing shy of a missed opportunity. You must consider the magnitude of what Christmas means for you. So as we close our service today, I invite you, take a minute before you go back to your families and festivities and food and fun and whatever else you have going on, take a minute and pause. Take a minute as we sing and as I light the Christ candle to consider afresh that the God of the universe, your maker, your creator, that he would come to earth, that he would put on flesh, that he would walk in our brokenness, and that he did it so that together each and every one of us might have renewed hope, everlasting joy, and a deep sense of worth in our souls. Amen.